Hello, and welcome to the first episode of the Final Lap Podcast. This is Josh with my co-host, Sam. Sam, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Good, good. All right, so we're going to start off talking some NASCAR at Bristol. Denny Hamlin picked up his first win of the season, his second straight at Bristol. He led 163 laps, and it was a second week in a row of dominant performance for Joe Gibbs Racing and Toyota. After last week when Christopher Bell won at Phoenix. This week, though, Hamlin led the way, and Ty Gibbs was second for the team, with leading 137 laps. But the big story out of the weekend was the tire situation at Bristol. What did you think about that?
I thought it made for a very interesting race. I mean, 54 lead changes, most we've ever seen in a short track. Bristol's always made for chaos, and having all those guys moving back and forth up and down the field certainly made it interesting. At the end there, seeing who would just survive on the tires certainly made for an interesting race as a fan, and I love that part of NASCAR, watching those guys push it to the limits. So I was really excited to see that, even though it certainly made it more inconvenient for the teams.
Yeah, I agree. I think we've all been asking for more tire wear on the tires. It puts it more in the hands of the driver, and it kind of just makes for a better race with guys going in and out, figuring out their tires. I thought it definitely helped make the race interesting. I think they might have pushed it a little too far. I don't think it's necessarily the greatest thing when guys are kind of just going around the track with flats, just trying to last it out until the caution so that they don't go two or three laps down, because you could do that super easy at Bristol. But I think it definitely was good for the racing, and it made it a lot more entertaining. I think I'd like to see them kind of push it to have that fall off at like 60 or 70 laps instead of at like 40, mm-hmm. What it was like, but I don't think you can complain with 54 lead changes in one race. That's pretty good. Pretty good.
No, I agree. And there's a lot of skill involved in that too. That Denny Hamlin was talking about after the race, that he grew up racing on tracks like that, and he sort of relied on that experience to carry him to victory. I mean, that you want to see that. You want to see them tested to bring out the most of their abilities and bring out all that experience, and that was great to see, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, the top three was Denny, Martin Truex Jr., and Brad Keselowski, three of probably the most veteran drivers other than Kyle Busch left mm-hmm. in the sport. So you could tell those guys had some experience back in the old days when tires did fall off like that. That kind of kicked in for them earlier in the race than it did for some guys. Like Kyle Larson said, he made it clear he was not happy about how that race went after the race. I think he said he didn't want to run a race like that ever again. Mm-hmm. And you could tell that it definitely played into those guys' favors who were the veterans out there.
Yeah, no, and I think it depends on the track, too. I think a track like that is definitely better for them to push it to the limit than some of the other tracks that are more high speed. Somebody blows a tire, it can be a lot more dangerous. Whereas yeah, Bristol, these guys are going a lot lower speed. You might get a big pile up, but it's a lot less likely that you're going to get a serious injury or anything with those guys going at the lower speeds. So I think if there's any track to push it, it's a track like that, or maybe a Martinsville or a similar short track.
Yeah, I think that's the short tracks have been the worst part of this new package, the next gen car. And I think they're just trying to look for something different. I know Goodyear said they didn't change the tires from last year's fall race to this year's spring race, but I think something had to have changed, because they put the resin down instead of the PJ1, which it definitely made an impact, but I don't know if it would have had that big of an impact. So I think they probably did some change to the tires too, which I think is a good thing in the long run. But it definitely needs to be tried out a few times, especially on short tracks, like you're saying, where we need a new change kind of to that package.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's it made for a heck of an entertaining race, but they for sure need to kind of tighten it up a little bit and find a happy medium, like you said.
Yeah, I agree with that. We could talk a little IMSA at Sebring too, if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
What did you see there?
I saw some great racing. I mean, that battle at the end was exhilarating between Delatraz and Bourdais. Unbelievable.
That was awesome. That was really good racing. A 12-hour race, to have it come down to a pass in the last 5 minutes and then a 0.8-second advantage for the win, I think that's about all you can ask for an endurance race.
Yeah, that always amazes me. I know sometimes you get the cautions that'll tighten mm-hmm. the field up late in a race, but it always amazes me that these 12-hour, 24-hour races can come down to 1/10 of a second, a couple tenths. Last year at Daytona, we saw exactly. that. And,
mm-hmm. that was a crazy finish there at Daytona. But I think this was really good, and I think it is a good start to the year for IMSA overall. It was a great showing at Daytona with Penske winning, and then to follow it up with a race like this where there's good battles all throughout. And Sebring's just a really fun track to watch.
Yeah.
All those bumps, and it's just really fun to watch a race there. What did you think about Lamborghini's first race in GTP?
I was really excited to see the car. It sounded like their goal these first couple races, they weren't really expecting to win. They were kind of just hoping to get it out there on the track and learn more about the car. So from that standpoint, definitely a success. Didn't quite finish as high as I'm sure they wanted to, but they had finished 14th in Qatar, but they got the whole race in there, and then they come here and finish towards the back of the pack. But it's all about getting the experience, getting the reps in at this stage.
Yeah, exactly. I think getting a full 12 hours in, especially at a track like Sebring, where it's so tough on the cars and the drivers, to get the whole 12 hours in is pretty successful. And then, I mean, a 7th place finish isn't that bad. I know they had they finished 28 seconds behind the leaders with a late race restart. But that's not, I mean, it's not a terrible finish for them. I think it was a pretty good showing in their first outing.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's a big two. That was an 11-race winless streak for Wayne Taylor Racing. Now they're back in the winner's circle. I didn't even realize it had been that long.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised they didn't show better at Daytona.
Mm-hmm.
They always do really well there. But, yeah, it's good to see them back up near the top of the grid. What did you see in that crash from Pippo Durrani? That was a crazy one.
Yeah, that was a terrifying crash. I mean, you really don't... I feel like you don't see crashes like that as much with the sports cars. You see bad crashes, but I mean, going into the wall at such a high speed and then the being so close to the fans too. I mean, I know there's a little bit of room there in the fence, but there was a guy. I think I saw a guy like trying to jump over the fence to help him out.
That was funny.
It's real close quarters there, but. Yeah, it was it's a tough one with the prototype passing a GT car, and there's always a risk there that something's going to happen. Most of the time, it's very easy. Those guys get past, but every now and then, you have a miscommunication or a misstep. And
I couldn't tell from the angle that I saw if Durrani came across or if the Ferrari came out a little bit or if it was just. They were both trying to make a turn at the same time. That just didn't happen.
Yeah. I think it was just a racing incident. No malice from anybody. Just the way he was turned, it was made it a pretty brutal crash. But
yeah, it sucks. That 31 car was fast. They qualified on pole. They were out, I think, a 12-second lead at the time of that crash.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks that we didn't get to see them fighting in the end at that battle. Between Delatraz and Bourdais as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I think that's about all we got today. Do you got anything else?
I did want to mention there's the one of the LMP2 winners, 17 years old.
Really?
Yeah, his name's Connor Zilsich, and he's a Trackhouse development driver.
Oh yeah, I think I saw that. Yeah, I didn't know he was 17.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah, and that was that in Daytona were his first two races, and he won both of them.
He won Daytona too?
Yeah.
Dang. That's a good start to the season for him.
Yeah,
definitely.
Can't complain with that.
They might have to get him in a cup race at a road course sometime soon for Trackhouse.
Yeah, maybe Xfinity or something at least. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, I think that was a pretty good first episode.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be back either later this week or at the beginning of next week to go over everything. F1's going this weekend in Australia, and they're doing the IndyCar Thermal Challenge.
Oh, yeah.
So that'll be interesting to see how that works out.
Mm-hmm.
But all right, I think that's about it.
Yep.
All right.